Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Electric Leftovers. My name is Jason. This is episode 414, our 50th episode of this season, which means there's only two more until we move on to season 9. It's a lot of seasons for quality entertainment like this. Boy, howdy. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show. This week on the show, we're going to read some reviews for Final Fight. We're going to get into some weird news, of course. And, more importantly, we're going to go to the old reviews. Or the archives, excuse me. We talked about reviews. We're going to the archives. And we're going to look at Fist of the North Star. Yeah, the NES one. That one? It's a... Yeah. Pretty infamous. What we've got going on new so far this week, we're going to have some new islets. We're going to have some new Final Fantasy Tactics. That's about it. Keeping it nice and copacetic, right? This week, it's holidays. No one wants to do a whole lot. I don't want to do a whole lot. Speaking of not doing a whole lot, let's just move on. Yeah, why belabor it? Danger lurks at every turn and hits when least expected. Since Lao's death, the central imperial capital, a city ruled by the Emperor Heaven, has been in great confusion. Ken returns to rescue its people from the tyranny of their evil ruler, but many powerful enemies confront Ken and try to thwart his rescue efforts. Will he succeed or will he perish? Only you can answer these questions, confusing as they may be. This is Fist of the North Star. It's an action 2D beat-em-up developed by Shoei, published by Taxan, released in April 1989, and it is part of the Fist of the North Star series franchise thing. And if you have played the game but have not seen the series, or vice versa, this, oddly enough, doesn't have anything to do with the first story arc of the series. There's certainly only two. There's like a big season one with like a lot of little side stories all culminating in the big end of season one. And then season two takes place after, like when it should have ended, they made another one. And this takes place in that shouldn't have happened thing. And God bless him. So Lao is Rao, and it is Rao in the original. You watch him. It's Rao. Ken on the back of the box is capitalized K-E-N every time. Capital K, capital E, capital N. I don't know why. I played this game a few times when I was a kid. We had a rental place here in town that we would rent games from every so often. But the next town over, the one I work in, had one too. and they had this game, and I rented it, and it always stuck in my mind that it was an odd game, because I hadn't seen the anime. So I'm like, when you punch people, they make a funny noise, their heads explode. It's weird. And I remember the music being not great, but kind of good. So, tracked it down, I think, for a monthly, and I played it. And it's very short. It's two episodes. The game's, I don't know, maybe an hour long. Maybe. It's not very good. It was good enough to spawn a sequel, though, that I don't think ever got released in America. The downside is, if you don't know what's going on because you haven't seen the anime or read it, this is confusing as hell. So we looked at Final Fight last week. No, not Final Fight Guy. That's different. Why did you... That's not even an option. Anyway, and I said things like, you know, platform filters, Super Nintendo. There we go. Oh my God, it worked. So I said, you know, one of my problems with beat-em-ups on home consoles is they get boring. They get boring pretty quick. And this game is no exception. And we will see if anybody agrees with me when we dig into reviews. We have a couple of regular contributors. Our good friend Officil is back, as is Horror Spooky. And just looking at these colors, man, I think everybody kind of agrees with me. I'll do this one. We read one from old Brack once before, too. Let's start with Brack in 2000, who says, a great beat-em-up with only two problems. Final Fight is definitely one of the better beat-em-ups out there. Although it isn't as fun as, say, River City Ransom or The Simpsons, it's still an exceptional game that's worth buying, especially considering it's only about $5 now. Graphics, 9 out of 10. The graphics are good for an early Super Nintendo game, and they retain their look from the arcade version fairly well. The backgrounds don't get repetitive as they do in most games, so it's easier to tell how far you've progressed through each level. That's a plus. Sound, 8 out of 10. The music is pretty good, fairly catchy. The sound effects are all great and fairly realistic for the early 90s. The grunts and yells from the enemies or the players are unfortunately a little screechy, but it's an early 16-bit game, so can't expect it to be perfect. You guys heard, I think, the first three tracks from the game and the ending theme, because nothing in the middle is memorable or good. Gameplay, 9 out of 10. Wham! Biff! Smack! And all the rest. All the fun from beat-em-ups is right here. The two characters to pick from are fairly well balanced as well. Cody is fast yet weak, and Hagar is slow yet strong. There are many different enemies as well, ranging from weak as can be to tough as steel. There are two unfortunate problems that this game suffers from. First, the length. Like many other beat-em-ups, this game isn't very long. It only has 5 levels. Second, no two-player mode. Having two-player take down all the enemies is what makes some beat-em-up so much fun. Is it a problem that the game is 5 levels? Or is it a problem that it's 5 levels? You know what I mean? Is it too short or is it too long? I think it's too long. Anyway, the game is much harder than some of the other beat-em-ups out there. Even though there are only 5 stages, levels 4 and 5 are pretty long, and all of the bosses are pretty tough. You can get a lot of lives from points, but even with the lives, this game has more challenge than your average beat-em-up. The replay has been taken down a bit because of lack of two-player mode. However, this game is still fun to play if you get sick of all your other games. Overall, 8 out of 10. Despite the two problems, this game is definitely worth buying instead of renting. Like, you can rent 16 and 8-bit game. Let me start over and include punctuation. Overall, 8 out of 10. Despite the two problems, comma, this game is definitely worth buying instead of renting, parenthesis, like you can rent 16 and 8-bit games anymore, period. I don't know what those other reviewers are talking about, period. Only a few 16-bit games can be rented nowadays, comma, and the majority of them are the harder to find ones like Mega Man X2 or X3, comma, and Final Fight is not hard to find, period. Close parenthesis. It's like a math equation. Brack gave it an 8. Some random trivia. Final Fight was originally planned to be a sequel to the first Street Fighter game, and it was to be called Street Fighter 89. This was scrapped when test audiences pointed out that the two games had virtually nothing in common with each other. That's why Street Fighter 2020 exists on the NES. Don't believe me? Look it up. Horror Spooky in 2015. Wow. Oh, and he's got a donate button. Horror Spooky. Come on, man. You're better than that. Says generic beat-em-up. Final Fight is just about the most generic beat-em-up one could possibly envision. Completely and utterly outclassed by other games in the genre, Final Fight is the story of Mike Hagar working together with his daughter Jessica's boyfriend Cody in order to save Jessica from the evil Mad Gear Gang. The story is really the main highlight about Final Fight, as it's absolutely ridiculous. The little plot synopsis I've outlined above is just a taste of what Final Fight brings to the table. I left out a couple of important details about Hagar. Oh, he's the mayor of Metro City, and he used to be a professional wrestler, yes. Mike Hagar is just a complete and utter badass, but he's unfortunately trapped in a game that does everything a beat-em-up is expected to do, and nothing more. First of all, Final Fight has an extremely limited combat system. Despite the SNES having 2 extra face buttons and the NES and 2 shoulder buttons as well, it somehow does a lot less than, say, Double Dragon ever did. All players can do is button mash and then move the D-pad in different directions to perform admittedly cool attacks. Hagar does an especially awesome pile driver, but it makes the combat system really dull and not engaging as a result. Players move through the levels, break things, and use weapons like other beat-em-ups and beat up bad guys. That's literally all there is to Final Fight. The game consists of merely 6 main levels, but the other guy said 5, and just comes across as so much lesser than beat-em-ups from the generation that came before it. What's worse is that the SNES version of the game takes away a bunch of the features that were present in other versions. For one, there's no co-op in the SNES version of Final Fight. Co-op is such an integral part to the beat-em-up experience, and not having it available in Final Fight on SNES is inexcusable. Beat-em-ups are made for co-op, and without the co-op, they're just not special. Furthermore, why would one bother to play with Final Fight when there are plenty of more fully featured beat-em-ups around that actually do support co-op? So while the gameplay in Final Fight is really basic and outright uninspired, it does have a few positive aspects. The music is catchy. No. There's a semblance of voice acting, a rarity for the system, and it has pretty well done graphics. Even though the SNES wasn't apparently powerful enough, to handle more enemies on screen, it does at least depict the characters and environments as very detailed and very well animated. I also noticed little to no slowdown, even during the busier bits. Final Fight is a very short game, with only 6 main levels to complete, and it's a pretty decent challenge, but the lack of co-op severely hurts its replayability. Ultimately, it just doesn't have nearly as many features as other beat-em-ups that are available, and even compared to some that came out the years before Final Fight on much weaker systems. Final Fight for the SNES is definitely not the ideal way to play the game, and it's honestly not worth your time. While the story is so bad it's good and the graphics are impressive for the time, the gameplay is just so simple and unimaginative. The game completely fails to take advantage of the additional input of the SNES controller, and you'd be much better off sticking to Double Dragon on the NES for your beat-em-up fix. Horror Spooky gave it a 5. And finally, Officil, please give, 2008 says, the epitome of boredom. Final Fight is a side-scrolling fighting game developed by Capcom. Capcom is a mystery to me. 99% of the titles developed by this company have been a major success, even franchise spawning a couple of sequels. The biggest mystery, though, is the Final Fight series, especially the first three ones were actually the same boring games. Excuse me. Especially the first three ones were actually the same boring games, with absolutely no difference between each one. I've tried again and again to find out what's so great about this game, but I never did find it. Yes, I'm not a fighting game kind of guy, in fact, I hate most titles, but then why do I like Ninja Warrior so much? I can tell you this, it's not just because Ninja Warriors had better graphics, but because of something Final Fight doesn't have. Gameplay. Story? Not applicable. Bad guys get girlfriend, good guys gotta save her. Even Super Mario's story was more complex. What's the story in Super Mario? Bad guy gets princess, good guy's gotta save her? Officer? Buddy? Graphics, 6.6 out of 10. I can't say the graphics are bad. Everything has good coloring and sprites are big with decent amount of detail like the backgrounds, but how should I put this? It looks so dull. First of all, the sprites have very bad animation compared to other games of its kind. The backgrounds are extremely simple and special effects are totally absent in the game. No transparency effects, no lighting effects, no nothing. And there's no enemy variety. We have 4 to 5 enemies and their various color variation, making you feel like you're fighting clones over and over again. Sound, 3.8 out of 10. Nothing spectacular here either. The music is forgettable. Typical, macho action music and sound effects are quite simple. There's no sound effect variety, and what I mean is hearing the same punch sound for 100,000 times. Oh yes, this game has a lot of punches, and you'll want to punch yourself afterwards. Gameplay, 0 out of 10. Look, Ma, I can describe the gameplay of this game in one sentence. Let's see if he can do that. Punch bad people. Sometimes use tools to hit them. Eat food for health. Kill boss. Repeat. Yes, my friends, this is Final Fight, the most boring and no innovative game of all time. All you do is punch people, comma, parenthesis, the more available, the only move available, excuse me, parenthesis, comma, sometimes with the steel pipe or a bat, but most of all with your fists. Yes, you can jump kick. So, the only items you'll find are the score-increasing ones and health items. Enemies range from simple punch bags, enemies that throw stuff or hop around like crazy, and large giants that need a lot of punching. Enemies attack you always, in groups of three, never more, never less. After each, comma, parenthesis, long, parenthesis, comma, stage, you fight a boss. A boss that isn't easy, but also isn't hard once you find the move pattern. And that, my friends, is Final Fight. The only thing that saves this piece of junk is the two-player mode where you and a friend can bore yourselves at the same time. Positives? Maybe the cooperative play? Negatives? Repetitive gameplay, graphics, music, and sounds. Also, it isn't final. Also play Double Dragon for the NES, Ninja Warriors for the SNES, and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 4 Turtles in Time for the SNES. Overall, 3.5 out of 10. Even Double in the NES had more depth, with more moves available and better level design. Final Fight is a joke. A bad one. Told at a funeral. From the family member everybody hates. AVOID. Rating 3. Well, as you may have heard, Officil says the co-op is there. There's no co-op. There's not. In this game. I feel like Officil is a little harder on this game than he needs to be. It's not good. I don't think Final Fight's good. I don't think it's a 3. I don't think the gameplay is a 0. Because it works, you know? Like, what it needs to do, it does. Is what it does fun? I don't think so. We're talking about a very early Super Nintendo game here, one that was pretty much a direct port, or as close as they could get, from an arcade game, which Capcom was doing a lot of. Street Fighter was one, King of Dragons, Magic Sword, Final Fight, Knights of the Round. They had a lot of, I think, Captain Commando, maybe? Anyway. There's a lot of arcade games that they just, you know, basically ported straight over to the Super NES as best they could. And this is one of them. And it was good enough to have two sequels. Maybe there's more? I don't remember. I don't know how many games are in the Final Fight franchise. Let's see. Final Fight, Final Fight 2, Mighty Final Fight for the NES, which was like a chibi version. Final Fight 3, Final Fight Revenge for the Saturn, Final Fight Streetwise for the PS2 and Xbox, Double Impact for the Xbox 360 and PS3, and there's a Final Fight for the arcade in 2019. Okay. Here's the thing. I think beat-em-ups are boring. I don't enjoy them for the most part. I don't find them very fun to play for the most part. And my problem with them isn't the gameplay, it isn't the music, it isn't the graphics, because the graphics in them are generally fine. The music in them is generally fine. The story in them is always garbage, but a lot of video games have kind of garbage story. Officil saying, this isn't very good, bad guy steals girl, heroes get him back. Mario had a better story, but what's the story of Mario? Bad guy steals the princess, you get him back. That's the story of Mario 1, Mario 3, Super Mario World, Mario Land. I mean, a million games have that story. What makes this game and beat-em-ups generally poor games for me is the lack of variety. There's not a lot of it. I would say a game like Bayou Billy is more interesting than Final Fight, because Bayou Billy gives you not only the side-scrolling beat-em-up segments, it also gives you the driving segments. It gives you the railgun segments. I think Bayou Billy is a better game. Now, that is not to say that Bayou Billy is not without its problems. It absolutely is. But Bayou Billy's problems come from the translation, because when they ported it over from Japan to America, they gave you half the attack power and the enemies double the health. For whatever reason, they thought that was a good idea, so that's what they did. I would say Final Fight here, it's probably a 6. 6 or a 7. Like, there's nothing offensive about it. It just goes on too long. If it was, I think we talked about 15, 20 minutes shorter. If it was a couple of stages shorter, I think this game would be great. But, you know, it's just not. And they didn't do any better in the sequels. Read some news, and then I think I want more cocoa. We got this cinnamon cocoa. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't even know. Our lead story, awkward. Arnaldo Chamorro, chief of staff for Paraguay's agriculture ministry, lost his position on November 29th after an embarrassing episode in which he signed a proclamation in October with the United States of Kailasa, Fox News reported. Trouble is, the USK doesn't exist. The fictional country is the brainchild of a fugitive guru, Nithyananda, who was wanted in India on several charges, including sexual assault. Chamorro admitted during a radio interview that he was not familiar with Kailasa, but he said he signed the agreement because the country offered to help Paraguay with a variety of issues, including irrigation. News of the Weird has reported before, in March 2023, about the posers who fooled the UN and Newark City Hall of New Jersey, which signed a sister city agreement with the country. I was going to say, we've read that story. And it was in March. There you go. Not even Paraguay is safe. The way the world works, ladies and gentlemen, can't a grandma send her grandson home with an early Christmas gift without raising suspicions among the TSA? Well, no, she can't. Actor Brett Gaffney headed back to Los Angeles on November 25th after spending Thanksgiving in his native Kansas, people reported. At Kansas International Airport, he said, "I got stopped at the airport security, and it was because of this briefcase my grandma gave me as an early Christmas gift. She said, 'Don't open it till you get to California.'" Gaffney followed her directions, but TSA wasn't having it. They asked me what was inside, and I said, I don't know. They said, "What do you mean? You're bringing a briefcase and you don't know what's inside?" Turns out, Gaffney's Nana had gifted him a vintage Smith Corona typewriter. "Who am I, Tom Hanks?" Gaffney joked. He continued his story on TikTok. "Bleh. I didn't think I'd use this, but here we are. It's so calming. All I want to do is stay home and type on my typewriter. Thanks, Grandma." I don't think that's a briefcase. I don't think a typewriter fits in a briefcase. Briefcases are small. Typewriters are big. You know, much taller than a briefcase. Here's our crime report. After getting a Waffle House logo tattooed on his calf on December 2nd in St. Petersburg, Florida, 33-year-old Max Alexander Krejkent of Clearwater, quote, refused all options to satisfy his debts, police said, which amounted to $250. As a result, the smoking gun reported he was arrested at the Ink Gods with a Z shop. Police found only $6 and a driver's license on his person when he was frisked. Although they did note that he was under the influence of something, Krejkent bonded out and pleaded not guilty, huge Waffle House tattoo evidence notwithstanding. And they say, wonder what the charge is for bad inking decisions. That's not funny or clever. Let me tell you, it is funny or clever. You get a tattoo, and then your family's like, what? Don't you know how expensive those are? Those are permanent. What are you going to do with the rest of your life with a tattoo like that? And then they say, why aren't you having kids? It's not something I've experienced firsthand. No one in the world thinks it's a good idea for me to have children. Myself included. Animal Antics, the mystery who has been slashing tires in the southern Italian city of Vastroghiardi, has been solved, The Guardian reported. The wave of damaged tires began in July and ramped up again in October in the town of about 600 residents, forcing police to place undercover cops on patrol. Finally, the mounted surveillance cameras, and in late November, they collared their suspect, a dog named Billy, who was suffering from a painful case of gingivitis. "It is a peaceful village. We knew it couldn't be anyone from outside, as we are always aware of any suspicious movements," said Deputy Mayor Remo Scocara. "It's a positive thing that the perpetrator wasn't a person in the village. Still, Billy's owner will probably have to pony up for the damaged tires, not to mention dental work." You know who doesn't eat tires? Cats. Passing parade, ladies and gentlemen, Rosemary Haney, 39, lost her temper and rice and sauce and everything else when she berated a Chipotle manager in Parma, Ohio, and then threw a bowl of food at her in September, Food and Wine reported. Haney tried to run out of the restaurant, but other diners captured her license plate number and contacted police, who arrested her on September 5th. On November 28th, Judge Timothy Gilligan, offered Haney one of two sentences for her not acceptable behavior. The standard sentence of a fine and 180 days in jail, or 60 days in jail, and working 20 hours a week at a fast food restaurant for 2 months. Haney apologized to the court and the victim and accepted the custom sentence. "Well, which one? She could have punched me in the face or pulled a gun out," said the victim. "I'm lucky I only got a bowl thrown in my face." She has found a job at another restaurant. I'm assuming she took the fast food one. I think that's smart. Yeah. 20 hours a week for 2 months? Yeah, you're going to learn something. And yeah, she could have pulled a gun out. This is America. You never know. It's like, my breadsticks are cold. Then you turn into Yosemite Sam. The golden age of air travel, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, another flight diverted because of unruly passengers. But this story gets bonus points. On December 5th, just before Breeze Airways flight took off from Orlando, headed to Providence, Rhode Island, a couple on board got into a heated argument, News 4 Jax TV reported. It seems the man was unhappy because he wanted to get off the plane, which wouldn't have been such a big deal, but during the discussion the word bomb came up. Passenger Rachel Corrigan said the people were talking about or claiming the other person had a bomb. The people around them reported it to the airline and they're obligated to land the plane. The plane diverted to Jacksonville, Florida, where the man and woman were met by FBI agents and arrested. Breeze Airways canceled the flight. What was there, a bomb? Tell me, I need to know. News you can use, ladies and gentlemen. Dateline Stenlille, Denmark. A vehicle fire also damaged a nearby house on December 2nd, in short reported. Police issued a warning to the community after the fire, cautioning people against using toasters under the front of cars to keep EV batteries warm. While there were no injuries, the car was heavily damaged, and the owner will likely have to pay a fine. Don't toast your car, folks. They don't like that. Old cars used to have heaters you plugged in. I don't think electric cars have that. Not that it's a bad thing. It's just, you shouldn't need it. Our least competent criminal, a 62-year-old woman from Hazlitt, Michigan, picked a poor time to dash through the self-checkout at Walmart with $700 worth of merchandise in her cart, WJRT-TV reported. On December 2nd, as the store participated in a Shop with a Cop event in Genoa Township, a clerk notified one of about 75 police officers on hand about the shoplifter. I do have to say, it surprised me, said Michigan State Police Lieutenant Renee Gonzalez. When you see 75 cops in the store, I don't know if maybe they thought we were too busy. The alleged thief was detained in the parking lot and taken to jail. Story of nah, I'm done. Joshua James Pinkett, 21, of Orlando, Florida, made an apparent sudden decision on November 28th to quit his job. Iridell, Free News reported. As he was driving a van with four prison inmates locked in the cargo area, Pinkett contacted his boss at the inmate transport company and said he was done. He was supposed to deliver the inmates to Hickory, North Carolina, but instead he kept on going. When Iredell County Sheriff's officers caught up with him, he was arrested and charged with second-degree kidnapping and larceny. Yeah, I think you probably are done. That's going on your resume, sir. And finally, saw that coming. Venice, Italy, December 3rd. Tourists once again behaved badly, and this time they ended up all wet. The Guardian reported that travelers from China were riding in a gondola through the city's canals, shifting around and standing to take selfies when the gondola capsized, dumping them in the cold water. The gondolier had repeatedly asked them to stay seated, but as he maneuvered under a bridge, the vessel became unbalanced. He too ended up in the water, where he assisted his passengers to safety. Is that weird? I don't feel like that's very weird. Well, that's your news. Nothing really stuck out to me. I don't know. Maybe with you, but not with me. everybody, that's it for this week's edition of Electric Leftovers. Sure was a time we had. Remember when we read the thing, and then the guy said the thing? Wow. I mean, I don't know if I would have had it in me. That's all I'm saying. If you enjoyed this week's episode, maybe you want to check out some of the other ones if you haven't. Well, you can do that on Electric Leftovers, wherever you get your podcasts. And maybe some places you don't. Look around. See what you find. You never know. You can visit jasonsgroupmachine.com, where you can get links to all of the video games we talked about in the show today, including, but not limited to, Islets and Final Fight and Fist of the North Star. If you'd like to find me and subscribe on YouTube, I am there at Jason's Groove Machine, as I am twitch.tv, where we stream every Monday, 6 p.m. Mountain Time. And I mentioned earlier, we are still in the middle of Islets. And it's a really fun little game. I hope you all check it out. I think if you liked games like 8 Doors and Chasm and all that, I think you'd like this game. If you would like to financially support the show in this giving time of year, well, don't. Go and spend the money on somebody else. But if you got a couple bucks laying around, you don't know what to do with it, buymeacoffee.com/electricleft. How about that? You can find me on Post, Jason, G-R-V-I-N. And I don't think I got anything else for you this week. Should wrap everything up nicely. We'll see you next week for another episode, and y'all take care.